Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll read the entire chapter. The focus this evening will be especially verses 10 through 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Beloved, our text for this evening is Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 14. I'll read those verses again, where God reminds the Israelites as they enter into the promised land, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. We'll consider those words in the context, and together with that also Lord's Day 50, which you can find in the back of the Psalter on page 86. Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125, which is the fourth petition of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Congregation, perhaps there is no other petition of the Lord's Prayer that we are tempted to deem irrelevant than the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. The temptation to deem it irrelevant is because we go to work, we bring home a paycheck, we go to the grocery store, or we use Shipt, and the groceries appear on our doorstep. We go to the garden and we pick the vegetables and they're on our table. We make the meal and set it in front of our families. And so we're tempted to ask the question, what role did God play in this meal? In reading and preparation for this message, I came across this story in Phil Ryken's book on the Lord's Prayer, which I would commend to you. And he has this example of a man who said this about praying this fourth petition. He says, I don't pray anymore. I've given it up for Lent, also for Advent and Pentecost. How can I maintain without lying that God has a hand in this meal? I think it speaks to the temptation that each one of us faces as we live in an age of prosperity. As we live in an age of ease in which the food simply appears on our table, it betrays this sad reality and the temptation for each one of us, doesn't it? And what is then the temptation that we face? Not just to deem this petition irrelevant, but to forget God entirely. God forgetfulness. And so why pray this petition then of the Lord's Prayer? Well, it's to help us to remember God and to keep God as in the forefront of our lives as the giver of every gift that we enjoy in this life. In a sense, this is an application of this morning's message when it comes to our daily bread, to follow God fully, to keep God in focus even as we eat. Even as God provides for our daily bread, to follow the bread to God and to remember that He is the divine enabler and blesser and provider of all the things that we enjoy in terms of food and drink and shelter and clothing. Indeed, this is the thrust of Lord's Day 50, as it highlights God as the provider of all things necessary for the body. In praying this petition, we not only pray for our daily bread, but we confess our dependence upon God. That's what this Lord's Day, this petition is reminding us of. Acknowledging our dependence on God for His blessing, renouncing our own self-made and self-thought independence, and to trust in God alone. This is also the thrust of Deuteronomy 8, especially as it's highlighted in verses 10 through 14. It highlights the danger of God forgetfulness in an age of prosperity and the illusion that we are the providers of everything that we survey. So this petition, give us this day our daily bread, and the lessons from the life of Israel as they stood on the border of the promised land and were looking forward to that land of plenty, the land flowing with milk and honey. These two things tonight serve to show us the abiding relevance, indeed the urgent relevance to pray this petition with fresh zeal and renewed faith in God and His provision. Our theme then this evening is praying for daily bread in an age of prosperity. Praying for daily bread in an age of prosperity. First of all, we consider the call to pray this petition, the call to pray for our daily bread, is not only a petition, but in light of what Lord's Day 50 teaches and what, in light of what our text teaches, it's a call to remember and acknowledge the Lord for all things that He has given for the body, to confess our trust in Him alone for His blessing. This call to remember and acknowledge God is seen from Deuteronomy 8 as Israel waits on the border of the promised land as Moses is preaching to them again the law of God to the generation that is about to enter. In verse 2 in particular, we see this call for Israel to remember the Lord. Thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And so God's provision in the wilderness for Israel was a reason for them to reflect back and to look back on how God had provided for them. They're now standing on this border, and you could say, between God's provision in the wilderness and God's provision in the promised land. And God is saying now, remember what I've done for you, how I've provided for you. I've given you manna. And all those years that you walked in the wilderness, your sandals never gave out. The clothing on your body never wore out. I provided for you. I provided for you. The hunger that you've experienced in the wilderness was met with my provision. I'm reminding of you of that. Remember that I did this for you. That's what God is reminding the Israelites. That they would not forget God as they entered into the promised land and the provision He was going to give them there. They were to remember how God had provided for them in their need. Their hunger was to humble them, to draw out what was in their heart. So hunger and provision was really God's test for Israel to see if they would remember and acknowledge God and do His commandments. That's true for us today, isn't it? We only have to think back 11 years or so. The economic downturn of 2008, when many of us were struggling. Many of us were looking for work. Many of us were dependent on the Lord as we lived our lives. We were feeling that pinch, weren't we? And some of you are old enough to remember the reality, or at least the stories of your parents as they labored in the first half of the 20th century. The recession of the 1930s. Times of need. Times of hunger. But if we look back and remember the Lord, we must confess there were times of provision for our daily bread. Even in the last few months, we were reminded, weren't we, of our dependence upon God for favorable weather to plant crops. Surely these are all calls to remember and acknowledge that though times were lean and can again very well become lean, we are dependent on God alone for our daily provision. That's what God was teaching Israel in the wilderness. That's what He's reminding us of as we pray this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. He's saying, remember how I've provided for you in the lean times. But the call to pray for daily bread also comes in a time of prosperity and fullness. That was true for Israel too. We sang of that, didn't we? Psalter 2:13. The title of that Psalter is Lessons from the Past. So God is teaching us lessons from the life of Israel. God's instruction to them in verse 7 through 10. God reminds them of His promise to bring them into a land of plentiful water. Springs of water, rivers of water, streams of water. No longer did they have to rely on Moses to strike the rock when they would be thirsty. No longer would they have to rely on Moses to turn bitter water into sweet, drinkable water. They'd be brought into a land of grain of every sort to make bread. No longer did they have to wake up in the morning, go outside their tent and collect their daily manna. They would have food in abundance. Bread without scarceness, the Bible tells us. Their herds would multiply. They would have meat in abundance. No longer did they have to rely on their daily quail. They could go to their fields and slaughter an animal and eat and be filled. They'd have precious metals and metal to form and fashion their own implements to farm the land. As we read in verse 13, a picture of economic prosperity. Israel would experience an economic boom like no other nation had ever experienced, going from hunger and thirst to life of abundance. But God says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Israel was to continue remembering that God had provided all this abundance for them. They had times of unprecedented prosperity as they would enter the promised land. Beloved, we live in times of unprecedented prosperity. And these times also call us to express our dependence on God in prayer, to bless Him for His gifts, to acknowledge Him as the fountain of all good, as Lord's Day 50 tells us. And so when we pray this fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, we are confessing that God is the fountain of all goodness. As we live in an age of prosperity, by praying this petition, we bless God for all the good He's given to us. We acknowledge Him for what He has done for us. We put God on the throne of our lives rather than saying that we have done all these things. Are we acknowledging God in times of prosperity as well? You see, when times become difficult, when we feel the pinch, it's easy to pray, isn't it? Give us this daily bread. We're quick to acknowledge that God is the giver of what we need in those moments of hardship. But are we willing to acknowledge that God is the one who provides for our needs in the moments of prosperity as well? God provides in both to test what is in our hearts, whether we will do His commandments or no. This is what becomes evident in our next point, this test that God places before us in times of leanness, in times of prosperity. Will we be self-dependent and forgetful of God? Or will we be God-dependent, renouncing our trust in any other creature and trust God alone for our daily provision? Yes, even in an age of prosperity, seeing that food on our table is coming from a heavenly Father who cares for us, who sustains us in our daily physical needs, reminding us that in this daily bread there is a spiritual bread available in Christ Jesus, that God is not only willing to sustain us in our physical need, but He's also a God who's willing to sustain us in our spiritual need. And so there's this call to acknowledge and to remember God in times of leanness, in times of prosperity, and to continue praying, give us this day our daily bread. But there's a challenge that arises as we pray this petition. That's our second thought, the challenge in praying this petition. The Lord issues this call to remember Him in praying this fourth petition. He knows the fickleness, the changeability of our hearts. He knows how quick we are to acknowledge Him in moments of hardship and to forget Him in moments of prosperity. This is diagnosed with clarity in the passage that we read. There are challenges to praying this petition for our daily bread. There are challenges to developing a right attitude in praying this petition that acknowledges God is the provider for our daily bread and the blesser of our daily activities, which puts food on the table. The first challenge that we face in praying this petition within our own hearts is human forgetfulness. In verse 11, the Lord reminds Israel of the temptation to forget Him as they move into their new homes, as they are unable to till their fields, as they watch their flocks multiply, as they see the gold flow in and increase. He says in verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." You see, Israel was going to eat. They're going to be full. What's the temptation when you're full after a good meal? Children, when your mom's cooked that Sunday afternoon meal, what's the feeling you have after that meal? You get tired and sleepy and dull, and all you can think about is closing your eyes. The world around you kind of begins to fade, doesn't it, as that meal sinks in. That's what's happening spiritually, isn't it? In times of prosperity, in times of great prosperity, there's this temptation to become dull, spiritually sleepy, spiritually lazy, so that we begin to forget that God has given us these things that we enjoy. And as you feel sleepy after that meal, as you fall asleep, you forget to thank your mom. That's true spiritually as well, isn't it? As we get this abundance of things, we become spiritually dull and sleepy, and we forget to acknowledge God as this spiritual dullness sets in. We forget God in prayer. We forget to thank Him. We forget to ask Him for our daily needs, thinking that the next meal will just suddenly appear as if by magic. Verse 11 is clear. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Spiritual dullness in times of prosperity leads to leaving off the Word of God, leaving off the commandments of God, leaving off God in prayer, living this spirit of independence from God. But here we see that this petition, this fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," is the very antidote to forgetfulness, to forgetting God. This petition for daily bread is the safeguard to spiritual backsliding. It keeps us spiritually sensible. It keeps us alive to God and what He's doing in our lives, even in the daily food that we enjoy, the gifts that we have, the clothes that we wear, the shelter that we enjoy. We see here that unprecedented prosperity has the potential to make us forget the Lord. And so how we need this fourth petition to guard us, to keep us, to hedge us about, and to keep us sensitive to the Lord and what He's doing in our lives. There's the challenge of human forgetfulness in times of prosperity. Forgetting the Lord, forgetting His Word, forgetting that He is the fount of all good. Then too, there's the challenge of human pride. Verse 14, leading up to that verse, the Lord reminds Israel and us of the prosperity that was coming to them. And He warns them and us. He says, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." They'd be tempted to forget the Lord who brought them out of Israel, who provided for them day by day by day. Gave them manna. Gave them water to drink. Gave them quail to eat. Yes, it wasn't the cucumbers and garlic of Egypt, but it was daily food that kept them alive, that was evidence of God's faithfulness, of God's covenant made to Israel. They'd be tempted to forget His redemptive work as He led them out of Egypt in the clutches of Pharaoh and would lead them to the border of the promised land where they now stood. They'd be tempted to forget God's gracious and fatherly provision for them. If there was anyone who learned to live by daily bread, it was the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. But as they stand on the border of the promised land in this prosperity that was about to meet them, God warns them, "Beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you through these times of leanness, and who's brought you into this period of prosperity. Beware, beloved, lest we forget the Lord our God." The one who has provided all these things And at the root of this God forgetfulness is an undue me focus. Pride that wells up within us when we focus on the gifts instead of the giver. Then our heart becomes lifted up and we forget where these gifts come from and discount the days of adversity in which God provided for us as much as He provides for us now. Prosperity and abundance of bread can lead us to forget God's redemptive acts in our lives, to forget that He's led us from spiritual bondage of sin. That He's provided day by day for us up until this point of time. And so this petition safeguards our hearts by telling us each day that our daily bread comes from the Lord alone. There's this horizontal relationship, or this vertical relationship rather, that God is reminding us of in this fourth petition. We are creatures of the Lord. We are dependent on His provision for us, physically and spiritually. Reminds us of what James writes in James 1:17, that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. This human pride and forgetfulness of God leads to an overemphasis on human activity and an underemphasis on divine blessing and activity and the things that we enjoy. This is evident from verse 17, where God warns the Israelites and us from relying on our own power and might as the source of our wealth and abundance that we have. God warns them that they will be tempted to think, that we even will be tempted to think, that it's our power and our might that has accumulated all these things that we enjoy, the food that's on our tables. We will be tempted to think that we have put that there. Isn't this a picture of our hearts this evening? How often don't we look back on the periods of need where God provided for us in spite of our need? And then because we live in a time of prosperity now, we somehow begin to think that we have done these things instead of God blessing us, blessing our activities and our efforts, giving us work, giving us meaningful employment so that we can provide food for our families, providing the skills and the gifts that we have to provide for our families. Blessing our activities and our efforts, our gardening, our farmers, granting us this wealth and prosperity. It's not our might, is it? It's not our power. It's not our industriousness. It's not our activity. No, our Lord there reminds us that God must bless every single activity of our hands in order to bring forth the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the field, to remind us that God is in control of all things. He's in control of nature, as we're reminded in these past weeks. Everything that we have ought to point us back to God. It's not our work ethic either. I've often heard that in the Midwest, the region in which we live, there's a hard work ethic. It's not our hard work ethic that's put this stuff in front of us. A good work ethic is not wrong, but it should lead us to humility before God instead of these temptations to think that we're in control of our destiny and our wealth. And so we need this warning, don't we, to humble us before our Almighty God and bring us back to the truth and reality that God provides everything for us. Let me repeat the words of the Lord's Day, which say it so well. We are utterly dependent on God as the only fountain of all good, that neither our care nor industry nor even His gifts can profit us without His blessing. And so our trust should be in Him alone, not in any effort that we exert, not in any creature that we lean on, not on any human might, lest we be lifted up in pride and forget God, the God who has given us all these things. So here are these challenges in praying this petition. There's the call to pray. to remember God. There's this challenge, these challenges that come, the forgetfulness of our human fickleness, of our hearts to forget God in times of prosperity. Times that we elevate ourselves in pride, the challenge of human pride. There's the challenge of human might and power that blind us to the reality that God is constantly invading our lives, as it were, with blessing after blessing after blessing. And so we need this fourth petition to remind us that we are mere creatures in complete and utter dependence upon the God who made us and the God who provides for us. But what are the consequences of praying this prayer or not praying this petition? Thirdly and finally, there are consequences to praying or not praying this petition. On the one hand, there is tremendous blessing as we learn to pray this petition, as we see the things that God has provided for us, reminder after reminder after reminder that God has come to us, that God has given us these things. Give us this day our daily bread rightfully acknowledges God for who He is and what He does in our lives. As we pray this petition with sincerity of heart, acknowledging that we are dependent on God, that we can't do any of these things on our own, that we're dependent on His blessing. There's the blessing of daily bread, of physical bread that accrues to us. This daily bread, we're reminded, comes in times of hardship, comes in times of prosperity. The circumstances do not change the fact that what we eat, drink, and wear, and shelter under, and drive on, and enjoy in these times come from the fatherly hand of God. Let this petition remind you of that as you turn to prayer in your closet, with your family, around the table, corporately as a flock. Let us remind ourselves that God provides these things from His fatherly hand. Indeed, these are blessings and signs of His covenant faithfulness. That's where Deuteronomy 8 brings us. His faithfulness will never fail, even though it might seem we have less than we had before. God remains the same. He's still providing for us, even though it might be less than what we've enjoyed before. His faithfulness will never fail, even though it seems we're enjoying more than we've ever had before. Indeed, daily bread reminds us that God has established His covenant with us. We just sang that, didn't we? That God reminded Israel time and time again that He is a covenant faithful God. The times of need in the wilderness were times in which God showed His faithfulness to Israel in leading them out of Egypt and testing them with hunger, to see if they would lean on God for their daily bread, to see if they would lean on God to fulfill His promise, to bring them to this land flowing with milk and honey, this place of economic prosperity, to see if God would place on the throne a king who would lead them forever, if God would indeed bring the Messiah to them in faithfulness to His promise. Verse 18, we read this connection between God's provision and His covenant. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. This blessing of daily bread evidences a dependence on the Lord and upon His promise. We're called to acknowledge Him daily for this as we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And then God is pleased to provide for us day by day, whether by much or by little. God is the provider. God is faithful. He will give us our daily bread, our physical sustenance. We see it again, don't we? Period of rain, wondering whether the crops were going to be put in. The crops are put in, but then they remain cool, and we wonder, is God going to send the heat units that the crops need to grow and to flourish? And here we are, in times of heat and sun and humidity. God is faithful. He's promised. When He came to Noah, summer and winter and seed time and harvest would not fail. Until He came again, this world will be purified by fire. God is faithful, beloved. God is so good, isn't He? Are we reminding ourselves that as we pray this petition? Evidencing our dependence on this good and faithful God. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Not only us, but those around us. You see, it's a corporate petition. It's in the plural. Give us this day our daily bread. We're not just praying this for ourselves. We're praying this for others around us as well. That others might experience the faithfulness of God. But this petition is not just to remind us that God provides physical food for us. The food that God provides for our physical bodies is a reminder that these things are means to an end. To rest in who God is, not just His goodness in providing physical things, but His goodness in providing spiritual sustenance. There's the blessing of spiritual food. This is what God reminds us of in Deuteronomy 8:3 as well. The Lord reminds the Israelites that He fed them with manna so that they might realize that man's existence is not just in bread. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so, beloved, we are not just called to pray this petition for our daily bread, but for our spiritual bread, for the bread that is Christ, you see. That we might learn to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Christ uses these very words in His temptations in the wilderness as He's faced with the temptation of turning stones into bread. The devil comes and he says, turn these stones into bread. What was Christ's food in those moments of temptation? Was He going to forget God in those moments and turn those stones into bread and feed Himself? No, He takes the Word of God. He brings it back to the devil and He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This reminds us, doesn't it, that our bread, our daily bread, is just a reminder to move beyond that bread to Christ, who is the only bread that can satisfy our hungry souls, the only water that can satisfy our thirsty souls. It brings us to our spiritual meat and drink in Christ Jesus. Children, you remember, don't you, the miracle of Christ feeding the 5,000 in John 6. Two loaves and five fish. God fed the multitude. 5,000. More than 5,000, probably. 12 baskets left over of plenty. And the crowds followed Him. What did Jesus say? He's like, you're following me. Not because of the sign that I did and to which it points. But you're following me because your bellies were filled. Jesus is rebuking the crowds because they followed Christ only for physical food. You see, as we pray this fourth petition, He's reminding us, as it were, that we're not just to follow Him for our bellies to be filled, for our hearts to be filled with Christ. You see, He's coming to us tonight. He's reminding young and old alike the only true satisfaction and satisfying of our souls is found in Him. He reminds the crowds as they followed Him. He said to them, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Are we praying the fourth petition in light of Christ as the bread which came down from heaven for our souls? Woe to those who make God's daily provision the end of all things, who follow God just to fill their bellies. Scripture diagnoses them as their God being their belly. They fill their bellies because they want to satisfy their stomachs, not to fill their soul with Christ. No, let this petition bring us to a consideration of our spiritual hunger and thirst that can only be satisfied in Christ, regardless of who you are this evening. Whether you're a believer in Christ who has prayed this petition, who has been reminded again of who Christ is for your soul, or whether you're an unbeliever tonight, when you've been living to fill your belly, following God just to be filled with the things of this life, calls you to repentance. Indeed, this petition reminds us of the overwhelming goodness of God, not just in physical provision, but in gospel provision, in bread, spiritual bread, in Christ. So on the one hand, there is tremendous blessing, but on the other hand, there is a heavy curse on those who refuse to acknowledge the Lord for their daily bread, both physical and spiritual, who go on in their own pride and strength, who break covenant with God. Listen to the words of verses 19 and 20. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. God speaks tonight. What is He saying? He's saying there's a real potential that the blessing of prosperity could very well become a liability and a curse. Could it be, beloved, that this is happening in the very culture, in the very age of prosperity in which we live? Reminded me the words of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, as he describes the sin of Sodom. Listen to these words. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. We often think of the sin of Sodom as homosexuality. But if we follow the logical progression of Sodom's sin, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness, this was just a logical progression into sexual idolatry and permissiveness. This was the environment that created this openness and plunging into sin and earned Sodom the rightful judgment of God. Prosperity carries an inherent temptation to forget God, to forget Him in prayer, in living out His commandments, in following Him fully. For Sodom, her prosperity became a curse and a liability. Will it be said of you and me, beloved, that our greatest blessing from the hand of the Father became our greatest liability, opening us up to His judgment and His destruction? Beware. Beware lest thou forget the Lord your God who has given you all of these things. So you see how that brings us to this fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Conclusion, then, this petition is less about our daily bread than it is about our dependence on God for every material need, for every spiritual need. How we think about and how we pray this petition really reveals what is in our hearts and how we think about God and ourselves in relation to God as a creature-creator relationship. As a redeemer-redeemed relationship, dependent on God for everything. As we consider this petition tonight, let me ask you these questions. Is God on the throne of your life? Is God on the throne of your life, or are you on the throne of your life? By praying this petition in sincerity, we confess that God is on the throne of our lives and He's providing everything, physically and spiritually. Are you living dependently upon His grace? By praying the fourth petition, you are confessing these very things. Or are you living for yourself independently of God? Where blessing becomes a liability, where self-idolatry subjects you to the curse and judgment of God. Let us learn and relearn to pray this petition in the light in which we've heard of it tonight. Repenting of our independence of God. Praying with renewed hearts, with renewed zeal, with renewed sincerity, with renewed repentance. Give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray in dependence upon the Father, confessing that He alone can provide for us what we need physically and spiritually. Our daily bread, with the bread on the table that we eat, and the bread that we need, which is Christ, for our souls. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Feed us with food that is convenient for our bodies and for our souls. We confess, Lord, our self-idolatry, our forgetfulness of Thee. Give us hearts that rightly estimate the gifts that come from Thy fatherly hand, both in terms of physical sustenance, but also the amazing provision in Christ Jesus, who is the bread of life. When we eat of Him, our hearts will never hunger or thirst again. And so, Lord, we pray, feed us, nourish us, teach us to pray this petition with renewed zeal. Let the age of prosperity in which we live not blind us to our need of Thee. Let our own forgetfulness, our own pride, and our own activity not blind us to the reality that Thou hast invaded our lives with so, so much good. Lord, to Thee belongs all the honor and the glory and the praise. For Thou art our Father who has provided every good thing that we need for this life and for the life to come. May this convict those who are unbelievers to repent of their independence from Thy grace and lean hard upon Christ for life, lest they fall under Thy judgment. Lord, hear us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.